Lucy and Whipper.
Nova. Hello, podcasters. Welcome.
Jeez. There's a fair bit of hot weather going on around Australia at the moment. It's just ridiculous. Mother Nature is hot. Like, I mean, I reckon she's been working out leading up to the summer, and she's just hit the beach in a new bikini.
Hot
and
mama.
And that's why it's hot.
Hot mama.
You just look at Mother Nature and go, wow, that's hot.
That's hot.
I don't know what to do to cool down. I don't know what to do to cool down.
Just bought one of those blow-up pools for the back garden.
Did you?
Yeah, we don't have any grass.
You don't have a garden?
It's like decking. We just blew it up and put it on there and get seedy. There's some dead cockroaches in it. But still, mate, we keep cool. And if you want to come around and bring the family, we've got all sitting it together. It's only a metre wide.
I'm busy.
Come around.
Sorry, mate, I've got heaps to do.
Oh, your wife's arrived.
I've got to pay some bills.
See you, mate. Coming up on the show. Stuff. All right, I want to know what you've got on today. Why does this temperature ruin what you've got planned? Mate of mine, Sparks, is moving house. He asked me to help. I said, get stuffed. Cooper in Richmond, hello.
Hey, mate, how's it going?
Good, mate. You hit. What did you hit yesterday? 43 and a half degrees.
Yeah, 43. It's crazy out here.
Oh, mate, what do you have to do today, big fella?
I have to actually work today up at Wyon. I'm an electrician.
Oh, no. So what does that involve? What's the job?
The job is basically wiring a bar. Basically, we're creating a bar up at the Wyon Milk Factory.
Yeah, sure.
Wow. Okay. So, what in a warehouse or?
No, in a building type of thing. So it's a two-story building, and no aircon yet. Nothing. Yeah.
No aircon. You're building a bar. No beer.
So getting up into a roof is the worst thing of all. And air conditioning, installing air conditioning is ridiculous. And my old man was a Sparky as well. Just refused. When it was hot, he would rock up to a job and they'd say, I need you to wire up something in the roof.
Not today.
He'd look at him and go, nah.
No way.
No way.
I got Bacardi to drink. I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. My massage chair is calling. Jason in Padstow, what are you doing today, Jase?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, mate.
Mate, we've got to do a concrete pour on the 8th floor of a building, bang smack in the sun, and we've got to wear long sleeves, long pants.
Wouldn't it be, Jase?
It's worth a prize.
Yeah, it is worth a prize. Tommy, is there anything to cool people down today? We got beer, we got ice packs, what do we got?
How about escape the heat with date night at Gold Class?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Legend.
Hey, Jase, I would have thought it would be too hot to pour.
No, it's depending on the temperature this morning, and then they go ahead with it. Might get cancelled later, but we're still going to be stuck in it.
Jase might get gold class and just be sitting at home. Well done, son. Hopefully it's too hot.
Danny in Rouse Hill, what are you doing today, Danny?
I'm outside putting blinds up all day, and I've got to go up four stories.
Oh, so on the outside of a building putting up blinds?
Yes.
So is that to cut the heat out of the window as the sun's coming in, Danny? Is that what it's for?
Exactly right. And guess who gets all the heat?
Oh, yeah, you do. Poor burning up Danny, they call him.
Danny, what about that?
I was going to ask, could I get a key ring? I've been trying since you started the key ring, the 6 o'clock club, and I have never got through.
No, we don't have any left. Sorry, Danny. Thanks anyway, mate.
Can I just say as well, Danny, we're going to give you one, but I would like to see a bit of etiquette and maybe some manners as well. So if you could ask again.
Sorry. Boys, can I have a key ring, please?
Yeah. Oh, Danny! Of course you can, mate. Hey, Danny, we're going to give you a couple of tickets to Gold Class as well.
I've seen you the other week. You're coming out of your work, in your car. You just left the gym.
Oh, did I? Did I have my top
off?
I was dropping
a cake off to you guys.
What are you dropping a cake off for,
right,
Danny?
That was at the end of last year, Danny.
Yes.
I had a bit of that cake and I couldn't move about half an hour later.
Yeah, I'll blame the partner for that one.
What were you dropping off a cake for, Danny?
It was a promotional thing from one of the companies you deal with.
Yeah, right, okay.
Good on you, Danny. Now you've got a key ring, you've got a cake, you've got a hot day ahead, having a cracker.
You got 1,481 key ring. Well done, Danny. That's the thing. Our policy that we do have here at Nova, though, we don't like to eat food that's been sent in by listeners.
Well, some don't, but I would also like to point out that one of our policies is if you do want to drop off a cake, we've got plenty of key rings for you.
Yeah, but...
So all cakes are welcome.
But we do... Tom has to taste it first before anyone else.
Quite often they've got anthrax in them.
Yeah. And that's how he got his pink eye.
That's my eye, guys.
Now, look, we're always trying to work out how we can live longer these days, aren't
we? Sure thing. Superfoods, different operations, injections.
Well, diet, fitness products, all this, you know, advice is widely available. But there's one thing which can up the chances of you lasting a little bit longer, and it's to do in the bedroom, Sarah. Okay.
So lasting longer in both.
Now, it's not more intimate time in the bedroom, which scientists are prescribing as a secret to a long life, nor is it even less sex, but they're saying celibacy, no sex at all, is the way that you're going to live longer.
Oh, I'll be dying young.
You'll be here forever.
I'll be dying very young.
Not true.
No, you won't, mate.
I'd be surprised if I curl over tomorrow with the amount that goes on in my world.
The link between celibacy and longevity has been widely researched, and the findings from the University of Sheffield indicate shunning sex altogether is more conducive to a longer life than being sexually active. And it's apparently why nuns and spinsters tend to outlive those who have regular healthy lifestyles in the bedroom.
But what a boring additional years to have to your life.
And I don't think it's particularly, I mean, when you think about nuns, you think of old women and you go, yeah, you might be right, Fitzy, but I think just the nunnery is about old women. There's not that many young nuns getting around, and that's why I think nuns are always old.
Do you know how we...
Well, no one's rushing to be...
How do you know that?
Oh, hang on. How many young people are busting to be a nun these
days?
How
in touch with the nun community are you?
How many nuns do you know?
Neither
do I.
Very good.
Thank you.
Do you know how no question is a stupid question? We had that the other day.
Yep.
And we spoke about, do blind people dream?
Yep.
Do nuns have fantasies?
Yes.
Of course they would. They're human.
Would they? Yeah, but have they experienced urges. It before? Would they know what's going on, mate?
They have an imagination. And they, of course, they can still go and see 50 Shades of Grey.
Fitz, isn't that what a fantasy is? If you have a fantasy of something.
It's an imagination.
That's your imagination.
I've got one of nuns, yep.
Yep, okay.
How many involved?
You haven't done any of that stuff.
You're just at the Abbey.
In theory.
Right, okay.
So that would be how it would work for them. And Whips is right, for once. If you have a sexual fantasy or a feeling, that's not limited based on what your job is.
50 Shades of Nunnery.
Are there certain nuns out, because there's different types of nuns, aren't there? Yep. Are there nuns out there that can be active in the bedroom?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either. But there are some priests who have relationships.
Yeah. Right, I don't think you sign up and you go, yeah, I'm an active nun. Not a quiet one.
Well, if there are any, 13-2014, get in contact. We'd love to have a chat to you.
If you're an active
nun. But this is really interesting. You know how the study they did, they used mealworm beetles, which mate every day and die young. So they took a couple of beetles away from their partners.
Yeah, right.
Just to do this study, and those beetles lived a lot longer than the other ones.
They did the study on beetles and thought it must be the same for humans. I mean, how long do rabbits live? Because they're known as being pretty active. Do they go at it?
Well, they don't have a long life at all.
They don't have a long life, do they?
Eye problems. Myxomatosis.
Myxomatosis. Because I think what Tom's got.
Well, Tom's got an eye problem at the moment as well.
What is that?
It's myxomatosis.
You've been in the nunnery too.
I have.
Is it pink eye, Tom? Do we know?
We haven't diagnosed it yet. I'm still Googling.
Write it on your nunny blog.
It's very...
I need your advice. don't look at me like that. I think you're winking at me, but no, you just closed over.
Okay.
No. Ted's about to turn two, so we thought, why don't we organise a party? Checking out a couple of venues. Ever been to Monkey Mania?
Yeah. I've been to Monkey Mania.
It's crazy.
It's not bad.
No real monkeys.
Jungle Buddies is another one, I think.
Same sort of thing. It's just full of play equipment. It's got like... What is it got? Like padded
stuff. It's just a huge playground inside. A lot of shopping centres have them now, Sarah. It's a great idea.
Yep.
So you can offload the kids for a little bit and they go on. It's huge slides and ball pits.
Does this mean none of us are invited this year?
Well, see how you go, Sarah, if you play your cards
Sarah.
Right.
Yeah, no. It wasn't really a question.
Sarah, can I be honest with you? You don't want to be invited to kids'
No, I know.
Parties.
That's what I'm saying. Don't invite me this year.
You're invited, Sarah. We'd love
I don't
to
want
be
to
there.
Watch your kid play on equipment for
no,
now.
I think Ted's still a bit young for Monkey Mania. Like, we went along and this kid's just running at 100 miles an hour and he's stumbling through ball pits and he's getting hit by a ball in the head.
Oh, I love that. He's dodgeball for toddlers.
Climbing up ladders, but his legs are slipping through and I'm thinking, oh, God, the kid's going to break a femur or something here and that'll ruin my week.
Femur?
Yeah, a mate of mine broke a femur the other day. Not good.
Just so broken leg.
Yeah, he fell down some stairs with a dog, holding a dog.
Oh,
poor
seriously?
Kid. And if you've ever seen a kid in a plaster cast with their legs wide wide open.
Yeah.
That's how they have to do it for far too long.
It's not good when they break a bone when they're young.
No, you don't want that.
Because obviously they're still growing quite a bit.
Yeah.
So you can go to Monkey Mania, mate. That'll be fine.
You can go to Monkey Mania. A couple of rules I learned about Monkey Mania. You've got to have your shoes off. You just have your socks on, and parents aren't allowed in the Monkey Mania. So I was torn because I could see Ted sort of working towards these little areas where he was playing, going up padded steps and things, and I'm thinking he's going to fall. Do I go in and help him? It's all netted, so it's generally safe. Then he got to the top of the big slide, and I thought, oh God, is he going to go down the slide? Like, he's never taken on a slide this big. And when we're at the park, normally I'll sort of hold him just in case he has a bit of trouble or he falls back as he's getting onto the slide, and then let him go down the slide. So he gets to the top of the slide, and I can hear him start to cry. He doesn't know what to do. Do I go down this slide?
Oh, no.
What do? Kick off the shoes, walk into the ball pit, through the guns where they fire off the soft Nerf balls, right? Up the padded stairs.
Well, you're not allowed to. It's against the rules.
But you know what? I had to break the rules, mate, because I had a kid crying that was in trouble. Yeah. And I was just picturing a broken leg and all sorts of things going wrong. I then grabbed him and said, mate, it's okay. You can go down the slide. And I thought I'll just ease him down, like hold onto his arms and then just let him go. That would probably be the easiest slide for him.
Yeah.
And then he didn't want to do that, but he came over and sort of then just sat on my knee. And I said, you want me to go down the slide with you?
No, he didn't.
I think he did, Sam.
What do you call Whipper going down a slide?
A mess.
Monkey Mania. Oh. That is just the worst joke. That is just... I mean, that just doesn't even tie into Monkey Mania. I mean, I want to go on with a gorilla joke or something like that. Sewage is a bad gag. Anyway, so I'm trying to work out what to do because it's easy for me to go down the slide, but I'm thinking I'm in front of parents as well. I don't want to look like fat dad going down the slide with kid on the knee.
Yeah.
And what if I get stuck halfway because it was sort of a plastic slide? Anyway, I took on the slide. So I had Ted on my knee, holding on to him. Slide was massive.
Well, you're
fast as well.
Well, when you have a bit of weight behind you, you get a bit of speed.
And I didn't realise that. So here's a fat, sweaty, hairy guy at the top of a slide with a kid on his knee, just wanting to put a smile on his kid's face, who was scared of the height and the speed of what this slide could bring.
Yeah.
There were joins in the slide. You know when you go down a water slide and you think, I wonder if that's going to hurt me.
Mm.
Anyway, there were two joins down this slide as I made my way. I felt it on the first as my t-shirt came up at the back. Got really scraped on the second, and by the time I'd landed at the bottom of the slide, I knew that I was burnt on the lower back. But it's like when you're injured or you trip over in public and you just got to get up and act like nothing's happened.
Yeah.
Like, how much fun was that?
Shake it off.
As I walked away knowing that my lower back was red raw.
Did you take skin off your lower back again?
Scrape the skin off. Well, you know what, Fitzy? As I walked out of the place, I thought about the moment which I'm facing today. I've got the physio. Now, when I take my shirt off, it looks like I've got carpet burn on my lower
back. Can we have a look?
No.
Oh, this should go up on Instagram too. Tommy's Pink Eye and Whippers. Oh, that's not bad, mate.
Scrape the skin off the lower back.
Come on.
And now it looks like I've just had a big session on the rug.
It's a tiny scratch.
I think the physio will know that did not happen.
If you're listening.
You're going to go to the physio for a tiny scratch on your back.
I've got the physio for other reasons.
For what? But what do you go to a physio for?
Mild arthritis.
And you're worried about the carpet.
But when he looks at it, he's going to go, why is there scratches and scrapes on your lower back? What's going on, big guy? Don't ask. So, Dr. Green, if you're listening right now.
How have you had a hip operation and got mild arthritis at the age of 42?
Live fast, die young.
That is unbelievable.
I can't understand
how you can get that.
Yesterday in Pilates, I went along to Pilates yesterday.
Can we put up one of those videos? Magic Millie saw him at Pilates.
Do you know what makes me angry? Do you want to bring this up? Millie did the class after me. I had no idea she was there. And for 20 minutes as I stretched and moaned my way through a spring-loaded bed, Millie took photos of me.
Aww.
Can we make a pact to delete those photos today, Tom?
We're putting one up in about 5 minutes.
Well done, Tom. Well done.
Am I on the box?
Yep.
Good news. A lot of talks about bees and bugs and creepy crawlies recently. Yesterday, that stat that came out that bees were the biggest public health threat getting around in terms of the bugs. I think they kill as many people as snakes. Was that the stat they had yesterday?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they do.
I would have thought more. Not many people die of snake bites.
But that's because of the allergic reaction, isn't it?
Yeah, the average bee's not going to kill you if you step on it in the back garden.
But see, any snake could kill anyone. not a bee. A bee couldn't kill everyone.
Not any snake can kill everyone.
Well, yeah, but yeah. Well, majority of snakes in Australia, mate, I'd be a bit worried about.
And the bloody inland taipan. Don't come across one of those.
No, well, just your brownies. Everyone sees brownies everywhere.
Red belly black snakes. They're everywhere. No, they're not. Sarah, we've spoken about this before, and you've got stories about funnel web spiders because this is the time of the year where the male venomous spiders come out of their little burrow and they start looking for a female.
I've never seen a funnel web in my
life. Haven't you?
No. I don't think I have either.
No, never seen one
as
in my life.
But I don't want to say that out loud.
They would be all around you and you don't realise. Your wooden deck out the back and that furniture you have. The furniture will have redbacks in it.
We got redbacks.
And there'll be funnel webs under your
deck. Plenty of redbacks.
Yeah.
But the thing is, pools.
Always.
That's like, if you think a funnel web is dead at the bottom of the pool, they can be underwater for 24 to 30 hours. They take in a little bit of air around their abdomen and they can breathe and survive on that under the water.
That is unbelievable. And they can surf as well, which is unbelievable. They're unbelievable. Yeah.
Synchronized swimmers. Yeah.
If you see a funnel web surfing.
Yep.
On a surfboard, don't go near it.
No.
Because it can attack you at any time.
Yep. And the other day you saw Hoppo drag one in and gave it mouth to mouth and everyone was going, don't bring it back, mate. Let it go.
Well, Joel Parkinson, I think, had a go at one. Said, hey, this is my wave. Because it dropped in, turned around and bit him.
On a big wave. This is the time of year. This lady said that it was 3 a.m. the other day. It crept up her leg before biting on her arm. And her torso, bit her on her arm and her torso. Before she could get away. This is in Bundanoon.
Torso's a bit broad.
Or just your mid.
Just.
Probably around your tummy.
Yeah.
If a spider bit you somewhere, would you go, oh, bit me on the torso?
Oh, bit me on my body.
It bit me on my, you would say on my side, maybe.
Yeah.
On my tummy,
if
on
you
my
know,
side.
If you know anything about spiders, 13, 24, 10, I'd love to know what the yellow one's called. Like, it's got, like, yellow on its back. There's one on our decking at the moment, and I've been feeding it. And I don't know if that's a good idea, because it comes back each day. And
it lays eggs.
I haven't thought about whether it's laid eggs. You know how I told you I got that fly zapper that I hit Jack on the head with?
Yeah.
And it literally, it's battery operated and it zaps and electrocutes flies in the kitchen.
Yeah.
What I love doing is going to get the fly and then I'll throw it into the web. And you see the spider quickly come over, wrap it up in a little cocoon, and it's like putting it in the shelf for another day. So if I kill two flies, throw it in, he'll wrap it up, spin it a little web around it with his little legs, and he'll go and pop it on the shelf, and he'll eat it overnight. And then I'll get up and it's gone.
Anywhere. That spider's not going anywhere. That's a stupid move. Because does it say a lot about that? So this is our family, right? BJ and Houston... They refuse to kill spiders or insects. Mm-hmm. Like, they're one of those people that go, no, just brush
even ants.
Brush the fly outside, don't kill it. Whereas Lenny and I, we go hell for leather.
Yep,
we're just flicking them with towels, just stomping on them on the ground.
Yep.
He does it with ants and that as well.
Ants is a bit aggressive, but absolutely, if I saw a spider, I'd squash it. I once had one and it was sitting above the front door and I was trying to get out and it was big and I was trying to go out the front door and it reared up on its back legs.
Ready
to
go.
As I went to go under it, it was going to jump
on me.
Did
you call Gary?
No, we weren't together at the time. And then it dropped on the floor and I've gone to brush it out of the house and it's tried to run back in.
Mm.
Plus, I think Gary's afraid of spiders just on
that.
Is
he?
Please, yes. Gary.
I think he might be.
He's can not we, very tough, Gary.
Can we set some spiders up at your place for Gary to walk into?
No. We
hidden
still...
camera in the bathroom. Gary comes in.
Tom, how many years have we been asking you to find one of those remote control spiders? And there's some really good ones out there. And a snake. Yeah. There's a good remote control snake.
Yes. Now would be the right time of the year to do it, Tommy.
Well, the ones we keep buying all make a noise.
They do. Yeah. We took one into Channel 10.
Yeah, we tried to get Hugh Remington.
Yeah, and under Sandra Sully's desk. And we just remote control wheeled it
and
under.
And
unfortunately, it sounds like a chainsaw coming through.
And he's going, that's not a spider.
Zoe and Cronulla, welcome to the show. You've been bitten by a funnel web.
Yes, I have.
God, how bad was it, Zoe? And where were you?
I was just at home and it was in my jumper and I put my jumper on and I felt something kick me. And then I tried to grab the spot and it kept coming further up my arm and I was like, oh, something's biting me. So I ripped it off and I just saw this black thing go flying and I got my dad to come home and catch it. And
it bit you numerous times, Zoe.
Yeah, it tried to, because with funnel webs, they actually, apparently, they latch on and they don't let go.
Yeah, we had a bloke ring in once and he took his jumper off the clothesline. Remember this story?
Mm-hmm.
Put it around his neck and the funnel web bit into his neck and he could not get the jumper off because it was latched on. It like barbed onto his neck, and it wouldn't let go.
Yeah, I was quite lucky, but I still went to hospital and they put the drip on me and stuff, so I was okay. And they said it because it was a male, it wasn't as poisonous, so
oh, that's good.
It's worse for the female.
So did the actual bite hurt? Was it painful or just unnerving?
It was like a nick. So, you know, if you get like a piece of wood in your jumper and you can feel it scratching, it kind of just felt like that. But I'd say if it latched on, it would quite hurt a bit.
Oh, I feel a bit funny about that. I'm feeling a bit crook about that story.
Well, you're feeding a spider at home, mate.
Yeah, but it's not a funnel web. It's just a friendly yellowback, if that's what it's called.
Stay away from them, guys.
Okay. Amazing claims. It's what we're looking for this morning, amazing claims. This one's floating around. Christy Hayes. Don't know if you've ever heard of her. She was a Home and Away star. No, I don't even know when she was on, to be honest. She did a Pepsi commercial, though. And part of the moment in the Pepsi commercial was where she bit her bottom lips there. She went like that.
Oh, that's a sexy move, isn't it?
That is a sexy move. Like, although you're excited.
Very
sultry. From the paper, excited about that can of Pepsi.
If you're looking at someone in a bar, right?
Yeah.
Eye contact's been going on for half an hour or so. And then someone looks at you and then bites their bottom lip. You know it's on. It's on, Sarah.
Yeah,
like
hot.
Donkey Kong.
She thought it was a dorky thing. Thought it was really unsexy. This was back in 2006. She then goes on to say she saw Chris Hemsworth, and he said to her, "Every time I saw that ad and you bite your bottom lip, I got really aroused."
That's
not the actual amazing claim, but thanks
well,
for firing it
off. Amazing.
That's an amazing claim, yeah. The more amazing thing is she thinks this is what inspired the scene and the way Anastasia in 50 Shades of Grey would continuously bite her bottom lip. She's linking that to a Pepsi commercial from 2006.
That's a good
claim. Amazing stretch. Is that possible?
A little bit, but it's always been known that when a woman does that seductive look in the
eye.
Can you
do
it?
Can you
like do it? No, I can't because you make me laugh. And then
you've got your braces on.
It doesn't work when it's you and I because I don't really want to turn you on.
No. Talise has given us a call from Campbelltown. What's your amazing claim, Talise?
My pop was the first person in Australia to have his aorta replaced because the other two people there had families and he didn't have kids or anything yet. And he said, "Let me go first, the mechanical aorta thing, in case it doesn't work."
Wow. Yes. Okay, so they finally have the technology to do this, aorta, and obviously that's a major artery to save your life, but they didn't know. Do they know what the percentage was for him to live, Talise?
No, they didn't. He was 27.
27? God, well, he really donated his body to science, didn't he, Talise? And fortunately, it was successful.
It was. He lived till 70. So
wow.
That is a good
one. With a metal aorta.
Hear it tick all the time.
You'd hear it tick all the time. Is that two stroke?
It's a good effort.
Talise, that's great. Thanks for your story.
If you've got one, 13, 24, 10, get involved with an amazing claim. Sarah in St. Clair, what's your amazing claim?
Hey, guys. For year six, I had to do a history assignment about, like, Australian famous people for Ned Kelly and whatnot. And I was stuck on a person, and my auntie goes, "We're related to Ben Hall," which is the guy who discovered the Northern Territory. So my assessment was done on that. My teacher didn't believe me at first until she researched it, and it was true. He ran into the first Indigenous colony out there, and they helped him, and he discovered part of the Northern Territory.
Wow. So that's good. Have you been up there to do a little bit more research, check out the history, to Sarah, or...?
Oh, no, I'm not a hot weather person, so I'd never go up there.
Get out of Sydney today, too. I went to a school with a guy called Daniel Drewitt, and he did an assignment. We had to do an assignment on someone in history.
I knew his brother, Mount.
That did not deserve a laugh.
You saw it coming a mile off.
Anyway, he did an assignment on someone in history that he was interested in, and at the end of the assignment, he then said, "And I'm related to that person," and it was Jack the Ripper.
Now that's
to Jack the Ripper. I did an assignment on it. He showed the family tree. Unbelievable.
Oh, come on.
He's now in jail. He's killed three people.
Well, see, Ancestry.com is... That's the big one. Mm-hmm. For this amazing claims, people should do a little bit more research and get involved because...
Yeah, you're right. Ancestry.com would be mad if they didn't sponsor this segment. I'm just doing my commercial side of the business, Tom.
Well, you don't have to. They don't sponsor it.
No, but they should.
Lights, camera, hilarity.
Sarah. Controversy this morning, Sarah, surrounding Angelina Jolie.
That's right. So her 12-year-old daughter, Zahara, you know that she has quite a few adopted children. Yeah. The birth mother of Zahara has come out saying or pleading with Angelina Jolie, saying, please just let me talk to my daughter.
Oh.
So there's this interview that the Daily Mail, I think it was, went and got. Now, the mother doesn't, she's Ethiopian, she doesn't speak English or anything, so they're translating it. And she's saying she doesn't want to take her daughter away from Ange. She obviously can appreciate that the life she has with her adopted mother is totally different to the life that she would have had with her birth mother and all this sort of stuff. And she's not trying to cause a problem, but she says she is pleading with Angelina Jolie to at least let them meet and talk.
Do you... Is it up to the child?
Yes.
Because, well, this is the... They're saying a brilliant movie that's out at the moment is Lion.
Yeah.
With
Nicole Kidman and Dev Patel.
Dev Patel, yeah, who does an amazing job. And that's a true story of a young Indian boy who remembered where he was when he lost his brother.
Yep.
And then went to an orphanage. And then he goes back and tracks that story. So it would have to be up to the child to make the decision if she wants to go and see her mother. That's what she needs to do.
I'd be surprised if Angie said no.
I would too. I think the story
is more just that she's requested to see her daughter. We have no confirmation that Ange has said forget about it.
Mm.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that. No. I had a friend growing up who was adopted, and she, about 10 years ago, with her adopted mother, they went together and met the birth mother.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and it was a really amazing experience for her. I think that's probably the best way to approach it.
Yeah, yeah.
Ariana Grande, guys, she sent Twitter into meltdown this morning. She's called herself the hardest working 23-year-old human being on the planet, and understandably, people have just started laying into her, saying, what about the people who are earning 60 cents an hour, trying to provide for their families? What about doctors, nurses, soldiers? This sort of stuff. Anyway, it's not looking good for her, and it probably wasn't the smartest thing to put up.
It's a big call. Yeah. It's a big call. I mean, we've got 7 billion people. I reckon I'm the hardest working 23-year-old.
Because you know when you do a little bit of overtime and you come home from work and you go, I work so hard. So stuffed. But you don't want to get on social media and tell everyone how hard you're
working. Not when you have a life like her. And she's also called herself cute in the same sentence.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm so cute, but I'm also the hardest working 23-year-old on the planet.
I'm the cutest, hardest working 23-year-old.
Not the best. Over Christmas, guys, Pink had a second baby.
Great.
We knew she was pregnant. It was very exciting. A baby boy, Jamison Moonheart. He was born on Boxing Day. She's done her first interview and talked about how the 5-year-old sister, Willow, her firstborn, is struggling just a little bit with the new addition to the family.
I've literally put Jamison down when she walked in the room. She's a little weepy these days, so we're working it out.
It's very funny. She says she doesn't really want to hold Jamison while Willow's watching because she doesn't want their first kid to get...
Saw a great photo the other day. They did one of those shots, you know, like when you sit behind the woman, like the husband sits, the dad sits behind the woman and he puts his arms around and you cover the breasts with your hands and you've got the pregnant belly there. They did one of those shots.
In the nude?
Yeah, semi-nude, yeah. Yeah, it's nice. It's like that Janet Jackson album cover with the hands coming around from the back. I always wondered who got that gig. I auditioned.
Fantasy time with Michael Whitley.
Imagine that, hey, mate.
On a Wednesday morning.
Can you give us a hand? Yeah, sure.
What do you put on your resume? I was Janet Jackson's hand.
Yeah, I was the hand person on her boobs.
Finally, everyone's getting very excited. Deadpool was such a huge success, and we've been hanging out for the next one, which isn't coming out till 2018. And remember, Ryan Reynolds was trying to recruit Hugh Jackman as Wolverine to be part of the film.
Yes.
But he sort of kept saying, no, I can't. I don't want to do Wolverine anymore. Well, a photo has gone on Instagram overnight, and what's happened is Ryan Reynolds has put up one version, Hugh Jackman's put up another, and then Pierce Brosnan has put up another, and it's of the three of them, and they've all sort of captioned it Wolverine, Bond, Deadpool. Because obviously Pierce Brosnan played James Bond. So something's in the mix. They're not going to say what it is, but obviously very exciting. 2018.
Wow, that's called a tease in the industry,
isn't
Sarah.
It?
Yeah, you've got me hooked. I want more.
So, you know, I'm getting a little bit too full on with Huey's Little Athletics.
We've recognised that.
Now, I've told myself, because my father coached me my whole career growing up, and I have promised myself, Sarah, that I will never do it with my kids.
Why are you still doing it?
Well, I'm not. I'm just I'm just a fan. When he's running, I just I really get behind it. I yell out, and you know, most parents do, mate.
You're passionate. That's what it is.
Someone said to me, and I can't remember who it is, over the summer period, they said, oh, my kid goes down to the same athletics as Huey Fitzgerald. And they said, you should hear how loud Fitzy is on the sideline.
Well, no. Wait up. BJ's louder than I am. Anyway, they had zone championships at the end of last year, okay? We're on holidays for this, but zone championships. And well done to Balmain. Balmain, we won the day. I don't want to rub it in, but we flogged Randwick. But look, they're a great club as well, but Balmain did really well. Huey was in two events. He was in the 60-metre hurdles. Congratulations to Huey. Came third in the 60-metre hurdles.
Take that.
So he goes through to the regionals. And then it was the big race, the 100 metres. Now, I made the mistake during the week of showing Huey the Usain Bolt documentary that has just come out.
Oh, yeah.
It's called I Am Bolt. It's amazing. And it follows his career, but basically it followed him all the way up into the Rio Olympics, his final Olympics, and it just showed some amazing footage of Usain Bolt when he was a young boy. And
sure.
So Huey was just fascinated by this documentary. Now, he watched Usain, and when you watch Usain Bolt with a race, and with the major sprinters, what they do, Sarah, in the race, because they're down on the blocks and they're in that crouch start at the start, they have their head down, on your marks, get set, and as soon as that gun goes, for the first 30, 40 metres of the race, Sarah, they have their head down. So they're basically, they're starting in a down position. In the first 30 metres of the race, they have their head down, they're going as hard as they can, and then they come up and they extend their body out and they put their head up and they finish the rest of the race off. I told Huey about this, not knowing that that weekend at the Zone Championships at the 100 metres, there he is at the start of the race of the heat.
Oh, no.
And he's got his head down. And the gun's gone off.
Right.
He's got off to a great start. And he's had his head down probably for the first 20 metres.
Oh.
The thing is, though, because he had his head down, he ran across two other kids and ended up in lane 7 when he started in lane 5.
Couldn't see where he was going. Had his blinkers on.
Is that a disqualification when you cross lanes? Good question, isn't it?
Well, at the end of the race, there was a bit of controversy.
Did he win it? We had to talk
about this, and we had to go up to officials. The thing was, though, the kid that he cut off in the lane that was next to him was our boss's nephew, Luke Minto's nephew.
Career limiting move, Fitz.
Were you waiting to get the boss back by sending your kid in?
There was the family of that child saying, well, if our child doesn't go through to the final and yours does, we're going to be a little bit upset here.
All right. So Huey won the race, although cutting another kid off.
Yeah. Well, no, he won the heat, but he ended up in another lane. Luckily, they let him through to the final. And the young Minto kid got through to the final as well. And Huey came second in the 100-metre final.
Oh,
so
well
he's through
done.
To the regionals.
That's amazing.
I've got the footage of it as well. And I thought, well, that's my boss. I could get into a bit of trouble here. So what's the first thing that I did? I sent him the video and said, sucked it.
Let's talk about Donald Trump. Give us a call if your last name is Trump. I'd love to know what it's like living with that last name.
Probably like living with any other last name, isn't it?
Sarah. You know,
what a stupid question.
You got two options, mate. Support, right? Or just answer back like that.
I'm now, just saying what everybody's
if
thinking.
If you are a D Trump, I'm sure people have pranked you in the phone book. When you try to give your details for different things, jokes would have been made. I want to know what that's like.
All right. So the three people who are D Trump in Australia,
give us
a call, 1324.
What have we got here? They've said to him, what are you going to do with your first couple of days in the White House? And he said, take a holiday. Have you heard about this? Because remember a while ago he came out and he said, look, I'm not going to take a day off. In my presidency, in my reign, I will not take a day off. I work every day anyway, so why would I change anything? Fair call. But he said, look, I don't want to blur the celebrations with me signing off on important things. So I'm just going to take the first couple of days off.
It's not bad. I mean, you know, look, Donald Trump, obviously there's a lot of cons that go with Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The bloke does work hard.
Yep.
I mean, he hardly ever sleeps.
Yep.
What's your annual leave allocation as the president?
Be normal, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Wait,
Four weeks, but the Americans only do 2 weeks.
Yeah, you'd have to get RDOs here and there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, Obama took a couple of holidays, didn't he? He took the family away. You saw those photos? Yeah.
His inauguration is on Saturday morning here in Australia. It's Friday over there. Have you heard the latest on the entertainment? So, you know how Obama had Aretha Franklin, Beyonce, Bruce Springsteen performed for him at a rally, like leading up to his first election. So, Donald Trump decided to get a Bruce Springsteen cover band.
Oh, awkward.
Now, they were booked into play. They pulled out yesterday.
Oh. Came and, to get a cover band.
Do you know what the rumour is? They got a phone call from the boss saying, if you want to cover my songs for the rest of your life, you will not be playing at the inauguration. So they've had to pull out. So a Bruce Springsteen cover band aren't even allowed to play at his big shindig that he's got on Saturday.
Yep. Knowing he's going to take the next couple of days off. It's like starting a job and taking that. I worked at an RSL once. Paying $17
No, you didn't.
Just stop.
No, you didn't.
Let's just break it down.
No, you're right. You know what? I'll give you that. I didn't work there.
Did your driver work there?
I didn't go to plan. I had a mate that was working there. I was getting $17 an hour. No one would go there.
What RSL was paying $17 an hour?
Oh, because you get club rates.
$17 an hour. I couldn't believe it. And I was like 21 at the time, 20. And I went along and applied for the job. And you just cleaned ashtrays by the pokies and pulled a few beers. Everyone there was 600 years old. And she said, congratulations, you've got the job. And I said, terrific. We'd love you to start Saturday night. And I said, I'm busy. And she said, okay, well, I don't think this is going to work out. And I said, no, well, I'm not fussed by that either. And then we went our own ways, and I never actually worked there. So you're spot on, Matty DeGrow. I didn't work at the RSL. I got the job.
The key to any new job, is have a holiday lined up before you get it. So you say, I'd love to take the job, but I've already got a four-week holiday planned 2 weeks after I start.
So true.
You're going to have to take it.
Yeah. Nishan in Winston Hills. Hello.
Nishan, that's it.
Ah, Nishan, hello.
How are you, mate?
What's your story?
Good, mate. How are you all?
Really well.
Mate, I had a mate who was a waiter, and he said they need an extra hand at the restaurant. So I said, no problems. I'll dry my hand at this food industry stuff. I got there. 2 hours in, while I was still being shown what to do, he had an argument with the head chef, and he walked out. He went, mate, we're walking out, and I walked out with him.
Oh, that's 2 hours in.
If he's going, I'm going. See you later.
Jeez, it must be empowering when you do that, Nish, because you don't really need the job. Well, you do need the job, but you're just like, oh, this is not going to be for me. I don't think I can keep doing this. Yeah. But it must be good just to walk out and flick the bird to the boss,
throw in the
towel.
Well,
I was driving him, so I didn't have much of a choice.
Oh, needed a lift home.
Didn't you flick the bird to your mate from Franklin's No Frills as Bellamy you walked out the door there
on the way out? And look, he made my life hell.
Yeah.
He made my life absolutely hell. In front of it, he used to belittle me in front of all of the customers, Sarah, while I was the checkout chick.
Yeah, that's
I
know not how that nice. Feels.
And all I wanted to do was get to the dairy section because I liked being, you know, I liked wearing a jacket and getting into the freezer there and getting the yogurts up to their due dates. But he said, nope, you will stay on the barcode and you'll be a checkout chick forever. And all the girls from the local high school used to come in and laugh at me because I had these... these baggy black slacks and this tinny this skinny black tie. And they used to laugh at me. So Mr. Bellamy, he made my life hell.
Now tell us a little bit
now
more.
Now remember,
about
I told you that woman came in once and said, "Is Craig
going,
here?
Keep going.
Is Craig here?" And I said, "Yeah, he's out the back." And we started having a conversation. She was a good-looking girl, and I said, "Why do you want to catch up with him?" She said, "Well, what is he doing?" And I said, "He's probably got his feet up, the lazy sod." She said, "That's my boyfriend."
It's weird that you chose to use the word sod at the age of 16. Very old.
And then
term
Mr. Bellamy
to use.
Came out and berated me in front of everyone in the store.
How did you feel then?
He got on the mic and he said, "Can I get a price check on this idiot?"
Yeah. Oh, that's not even funny. That's not funny.
It wasn't funny at all.
Not funny
what
at all.
A horrible man.
So on the way out, when I finally left.
Good work, Mr. Bellamy.
So on the way out, as I left, I flicked him the bird. It was outside the store. He didn't see me, but I flicked it anyway.
Tommy, can we get Mr. Bellamy on the show?
Yeah.
I just think we need to settle this. There's obviously some
he's
raw
in
pain.
Long Bay now, I think.
Is he?
Yep.
Silverwater.
He's
do you
gone
reckon
down.
He still holds on to your employment the way you do?
Yeah.
Did it hurt him just as much?
Who's laughing now?
Probably
that's
him.
What I say.
Probably still him.
Him with his hot girlfriend.
Well, Franklin's is not around anymore.
Yeah, he didn't own it. He just worked there.
He's probably at an IGA.
Yeah, you're the one still hurting.
Sucked in.
He's laughing. Just get it off your chest, mate. I think Fitzy should say what's better. Whipper looks fat in that sweater.
Write a letter to the editor. It's back, Sarah, 2017.
Surprises me. I mean, we had a meeting. We went through the regular benchmarks and segments we do on the show, and I didn't think this one got approved.
I can't stop the people from contributing a thought about you two and your show.
I'm going to start writing in anonymously.
You can if you like. I will read them
out. This is from Kevin. Hey, that whipper guy's awesome.
That's not bad.
Thanks, Kevin.
If you're going to name yourself Kevin, you need to know how to spell it, though, so just work on
that. K-E-V-E-N.
We love getting your feedback, guys. Tweet us at Fitzy and Whipper or visit the Facebook page. So, Fitzy, it's taken you a couple of days, I'd say, to warm up after a few weeks off. Chad has tweeted, as a Canadian, I find your pronunciation very offensive, Fitzy.
He was on a Canadian talent show, like Canada's Got Talent.
Canadian talent.
A Canadian talent show. Canadian's talent.
Yeah, you know, but you I kept saying it.
Why no? It's a tough one.
Canada's Got Talent.
Canadian. If that's what you're going to kick off the year with, I'm a bit disappointed.
It doesn't stop there because Alice has Facebooked. Hi, Sarah. Does Fitzy get a briefing of all the new music you guys are playing on Nova? Because I think he needs to.
This is a new one. Sage the Gemini.
Gemini.
The old Holman Gemini.
It's not even spelt that way.
If your horoscope is a Gemini, give us a call. 13-24-10.
Whips, on the music, it seems you're not doing much better.
What?
What band is playing at Trump's inauguration?
At this stage, for Trump's inauguration, all we have is Four Doors Down.
Yeah, I think it's Three Doors Down, if you want to Google it.
Yeah, when they started, it was four, dropped it to three. It seemed a bit tidier.
Right. Fitz Whipper's mother, Christine Whipfley, has texted me saying you got quite flirty with her during the Christmas show. She wants to know if you're free on Friday night, I think.
So we want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Bye, Mum.
Love you, Christine.
Okay, bye.
Do you know what? She was busting. She was busting to hear that on Christmas Day, right?
Was she?
So we listened to it on Christmas Day when she came on, and she made everybody sit there, and there was just this awkward moment where she looked at me and she looked at Dad, and then she was kissing you over the phone. And
wow.
Why is Fitzy part of my Christmas Day? This is horrible.
Well, when I woke up on Christmas Day and she was at the front door with a bit of mistletoe, I went, boom.
Just wearing a bow.
Okay. Put a ribbon around that.
You bet.
Tie a yellow ribbon around Christine Whipfley.
Yeah, well, oh, yeah.
2017, the jokes about your mum. Okay, guys, we've actually had a complaint about one of your Instagram pictures over the summer holidays. So, Whipper, you put a picture of yourself and Ted in a matching Ralph Lauren polo top, very bright board shorts and loafers at the Palm Beach Estate Club. Caleb has commented, this is just cruel. Give the kid a chance.
No, Caleb. Caleb is Fitzy. Now,
no,
it is Fitzy's standard joke and comment to say, give that kid a chance.
Yeah.
Give Ted a chance.
Can you just
started that.
Go through that again, what they were wearing and where they were at.
No, we weren't.
Palm Beach Estate.
No, that wouldn't have been
there. In a Ralph Lauren polo top.
That's
very
an in-house.
Very bright board shorts
that's
and
in-house.
Loafers.
That work is in-house, Sarah. You've made that up.
Oh, it's good to have this young lady back into the studio. It's been a while. Rachel Finch has got a new book out, Happy, Healthy, Strong, and she joins us now. Finch!
Yes! Yes!
I missed you guys.
So much.
I missed my Listen to Your Heart
Listen
segment.
To Your Heart segment,
I was
yeah.
driving here thinking, you know, like all those times I shared my heart and
yeah, bring it back.
Poured out my soul and you just laughed at me.
Because
you were amazing.
You didn't know what you were talking about.
Well, you just, you got me to spill some really private stuff.
Yeah, you did.
So I would, you know, I'd be going to bed thinking about this for hours, and then I'd come in going, you know, I've got this really important story, and all I would get was just crackles of laughter.
Because it probably didn't make sense.
Like I was an idiot.
Hey, 6 weeks to go. Baby number two, 40 plus degrees.
Listen to your stomach is the new segment.
How does that feel? How are you going in the heat?
At the moment, I'm diving from aircon to aircon.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
It is tough. Because you sweat in places that you just didn't know.
Here we go.
That's why we love Finchy.
It's really, I feel really heavy and big. I'm really at the business end and I'm ready to just give birth.
Yeah, there's a lot of nutrients that is going into that baby at the moment because you do eat very well. And this is why this book, I mean, we follow you on Instagram and your Snapchat and stuff like that. And you love to eat healthy.
Yeah.
Is that what inspired you to put this book together, Finchie?
Which is your favourite recipe from the book, by the way?
Peanut ice cream.
This is what ice cream. I want to know a treat. I want to know a healthy treat.
Yeah.
Because I'm sick of healthy food, but I want to know a treat. There's just something simple that I can have every night because I've cut out chocolate, I've cut out lollies and soft drink.
Okay, peanut butter cookies.
Okay, peanut.
They're really easy.
But are they good for you?
Well, yeah, they've got all good nutritious ingredients. You can't have them every day.
Chocolate crackles.
Mango ice cream, chocolate
mango
crackles.
Ice cream. Yes. How good is that? Did you bring any in? Sorry, I got carried away.
No, I didn't. I was expecting you guys to have something prepared.
My wife's a big fan of yours, and the other day around the table it was, because I was inspired because Fitzy quit sugar, and I said, well, I'll quit some sugars.
Yeah. Are you still on your 5-2 diet?
Sometimes.
But
she said, why aren't we eating what Finchie eats?
Yeah.
So this is going to go well at our place. We're going to get right into it.
It was incredible to
Sweet
create.
Potato nuggets.
Mm.
Sweet potato nuggets.
You just got to put keywords in there for the fat guys, like nuggets.
Well, the whole point is to like recreate the good things that we know.
Yep.
So, you know, the chocolate crackers, the nuggets, the caramel popcorn, mm-hmm. stuff that we like traditionally know as kids is tasting really good because it did, but putting a healthy spin on it.
Well, let's push the book to the side because we want to know about your personal life. So what we've done, Finchie, we've actually rung your husband, Michael, and what we've done is that we've Now, do you know that there's a new big movie coming out in 2017, one of the biggest ones, 50 Shades Darker?
Yep. No, I
the follow up to 50 Shades of Grey.
Remember, because I'm not too much into ready now, I don't do much pop culture.
Because you're bringing out a new book, we thought we'd go through that book.
Yes.
Right, and you've got to try and guess if it's a quote from 50 Shades Darker,
okay,
or if it's a quote from the bedroom of you and Michael.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Okay. So here we go.
Have dinner with me.
Oh my god.
Finchie Shades Darker.
Oh no no.
Okay, Finchie Shades Darker.
Are you ready for this?
So creative, you boys.
We're trying.
Is this from 50 Shades Darker or Finchie Shades Darker? Number one, I don't know whether to worship at your feet or to spank you. Is that from your bedroom or is that from the book 50 Shades Darker?
Far out. This is really deep. Never use the word spank in my house.
Yep.
So 50 Shades Darker.
Well done, Finchie. Good start. Damn. Good start.
What about this one? All right. Glad 50 Shades Darker right. Yep. Or Finchie Shades Darker. I've got many names for you, but tonight you're my angel.
That would definitely be from our house.
Yep.
That's our pet name.
Finchie Shades Darker.
We were a bit disappointed. Is that the only pet name that you have? Is Angel the only one?
Angel, my love, baby. Oh, that's pretty much okay. It. Oh, we're not into like really weird monkey moo names.
Yep.
I don't know what you've got, Whip, but...
Oh, I can't say it on air.
Here we go. Is this 50 Shades Darker or Finchie Shades Darker? I want to bury myself in you and just forget everything but us.
Oh, that's a tricky one.
That is a tricky one. You'd say that.
Has Michael said that to you, or you may have said that to Michael?
The bury myself, probably not, but the second half, yes. So I'm going to say no because of the first one being
the
false.
First one. Mm-hmm. It is. It's 50 Shades Darker.
God, you're all over this.
From the book. Well done, Finchie.
I've read the books too, so I'm across this. How about this one? Put Bryan Adams on the stereo, please. It's time to dance around the lounge room.
That was our wedding dance.
What song?
Yep.
Still feels.
What
a song.
Oh, you know,
what
like
a great
the memories
song.
Memories of that smoke machine.
Got
a bit of
Brian. So how often do you still do it now? Do you chuck Bryan Adams on in the lounge room every now and then?
We don't intentionally put it on, but if it comes on in a cafe, we'll like do the look at each other's eyes. You know that nice feeling?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. What about this one? Don't tell me what to do. I was Miss Universe Australia 2009. Is that from the book 50 Shades Darker or Finchie Shades Darker?
What are the characters in this 50 Shades Darker? Yeah, that's definitely not from me.
Don't tell me what to do. I was Miss Universe Australia 2009.
Yep. Where was that from?
I I've got to say that's from our house.
Well done, Fishy. That was a tough one.
It was actually Jacinda Campbell.
What no, a twist. 2010, the following 2010. Year.
Does Violet know what's going on? Does she realise, your three-year-old, that there's another baby on the way?
She does, but if she doesn't get a girl, she's going to be very unhappy.
Really? She wants a girl?
She is all for a sister.
Do you know what it is?
No, still undecided.
Awesome.
So take your guess, take your stab.
It's a boy.
I remember when we had Violet, I got, you gave me a jumpsuit for the little one.
Oh, yeah.
Nova's smallest fan.
Nova's smallest fan.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we've run out of them, so we can't
we'll
give
get
you
something else for you. You gave me a hedgehog. Do you remember the hedgehog you gave me? Ted loves it. Did you recycle that or something?
You threw it away.
No, we didn't. We still have hedgehog
at
home.
It's at the back of the cupboard with vomit on it.
I will send you a photo with hedgehog. We loved hedgehog.
I'll give you a book to make up for it.
Not a bad deal.
The new book is Happy, Healthy, Strong. Finchie, always a pleasure getting you in. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. Love you. Fitzy and Whipper. Nova.